So we're going to pick this up where we left off yesterday, and today, for the last time, we'll study about the conditions just prior to and around the splitting of the sea. Chapter 14, verse 23. Yesterday we learned about the Israelites heading into the sea and the Egyptians following in hot pursuit. So the pillar of cloud followed the Israelites into the sea, and as such, there was darkness. The Egyptians didn't really see where they were going, and they went right down into the ocean bed. And so it was as day was about to break. Verse 24. It was in the morning watch. Vayashkef Hashem al Machane Mitzrayim. God balefully gazed at the camp of Egypt. And this was Ba'amud Eish Ve'onon, with a pillar of fire and the cloud, the mist. Vayohom Eish Machane Mitzrayim. So God, if you will, he created a great deal of confusion for the Egyptians with a pillar of fire or the pillar of smoke. What does this mean? Let's take a look in Rashi to try to understand what exactly is unfolding in real time in verse 24. So firstly, it says, Ba'ashmeiras HaBaker, which literally means the watch. It comes to the word Shmira, the morning watch. Rashi tells us, Shalishas Chelke HaLayla Kruyin Ashmeiras. The three parts of the night are called an Ashmeiras. There's a dispute in the Gemara if there's three parts or four parts. Rashi here goes simply with the idea of three parts. And he says, Ve'oisa Shalafne HaBaker, the final watch of the night, is called Ashmeiras HaBaker, the morning watch, because it's the conclusion of the night. And Rashi says, why do we use the terminology Ashmeiras? Ve'imer Ani, and I say, Lafi Shahalayla Cholok Lemishmeres Shir Shamalach HaShores, because the night is divided into different watches, presided over by the ministering angels. Kat achar kat, one group after the other, and this happens l'shloishes chalokim, in three divisions. So three divisions of angels come in, and they do whatever angels do. They proverbially sing before God. L'kach korui, that's why each third is called an ashmeiras, which means it's as if like they have a mission, a job to do. Everybody has their watch, so, you know, ever hear the expression, not on my watch? So this is on their watch. So this is now, we know then, why Unkelus renders it bimatras. He calls it like the idea of a watch, because this is the final watch. In other words, the last part of the night. Day is about to break. So Ashmeiras HaBaker means at the end of the morning watch, the third part of the night, it's still very dark, but you can already start to make out shadows. There's already night is coming to an end, and the day is about to begin. That's Ashmeiras HaBaker. Vayashkef. So it says that God gazed, looked down. Rashi says, Vayabet. He looked deeply. Kaloimar, in other words, Pono Alehem. God, so to speak, turned his attention towards them. And why do you think Hashem was turning his attention to the Egyptians? To reward them for all their mitzvahs? I don't think so. Lahashchisam, Rashi says, to destroy them. The Targum renders it, Vistache. Afu Loshen Habata. The word istache is like related to the Hebrew word histaklut, to look deeply. And this is also the terminology of looking. And Rashi brings an example of how we know this, that Unkelus, when Unkelus says ve'istache, that he means the idea of looking. Because, Kemoi, for example, Unkelus renders sedeit sofim, the field, the observatory field, or the lookout. This is where Bilam went, to see if he could look at the Jewish people, to see if he could possibly bring about something negative. So it says on the observation area, observation deck, observation field, that's where he was able to see, and the terminology that's used there is chakal sechusa. So if it's a chakal, it means like a field or a plateau, a landing, and from this we know he says sechusa, so we can understand that it's the idea of looking. So it's, for example, a person says, you know, look deeply into this. Well, let's take a look at this situation. Hashem, if you will, takes a look at the reality of the Egyptians. And they're in big trouble now. The trouble begins, Ba'abud Eish Va'anon. Now the trouble begins for the Egyptians with a pillar of fire and a cloud. Now, usually one was one or the other. So during the day, the Israelites were led by a cloud, by mist or smoke. And at night, it was a pillar of energy, pure energy or fire. Here, it comes together. It's Amud Eish Ve'anon. So Rashi says, Amud Anon Yered, that the mist comes down and it's moistening the ground beneath the Egyptians. You'll remember the Jewish people were walking on dry land by Abosha. So now the moisture comes down and it makes everything wet. Because it gets wet, Rashi says, it becomes va'isa isa ketit. He creates a muddy situation and you sink in mud. So they're not walking on dry land anymore. And then it gets worse. After the ground is softened and made muddy, and they're sinking in the mud, amud eish martiche. Then the pillar of pure energy of fire heats up the mud. And Rashi says, now they're mired in hot muck. This is no fun. Most of them are riding horses. What do they care? Oh, they care. Because talfei susehim mishtamtes. This is pretty spooky. It says that the hooves of the horses literally burned off. So the horses were basically collapsing. The horses were moving. Their hooves were falling off. They couldn't move forward. And you could understand automatically that the entire camp, the Egyptian camp, was thrown into chaos, thrown into confusion. Here they are riding these horses, these steeds, Egyptian steeds, best horses. And they're all bejeweled, and they're all armed to the teeth. And they go down into this area, and everything's great. They're following the Israelites. All of a sudden, it's not dry. It's wet, and it's not wet. It's hot. Very hot. And into this, the horses, their hooves are falling off. So the horses' hooves are falling off, and they're getting mired in boiling mud. Vayaham, Rashi says. Vayaham is Lashon Mahuma. Irbavam. They were confused. They were kind of mixed up. In other words, they broke rank and file. So the Egyptians were an army, well-trained army, and everything was very orderly, but the orderliness suddenly was lost. Notal Sagniyos Shalohem. It was taken from them their ability to keep everything, so to speak, together. Everything was usually in an army, everything is orderly, they're marching in formation, all the formations fell apart. And the worst thing for an army is when there's no longer any order, because now it's chaos. There's a stampede. Shaninu b'pirkei Rabbi Eliezer b'nei shal b'yesh aglili. We learned in the teachings of Rabbi Eliezer, the son of Rabbi Yesh aglili, kol makim shenemer b'mahuma. Whenever it says mahuma, that means harashas kailu. That means that there's a lot of noise going on. So this meant, and this is the source of it all. Zeo av l'kulan. It says vayareim Hashem b'kel gadol v'gemer al plishtim v'yehumim. Hashem sent these terrifying sounds against the Pelishtim, and he sent them into a state of confusion. So we think this means it was thunder. So now there's a cloud descends. The ground beneath them that was solid and dry is now wet. It becomes boiling hot. The horses are not following orders anymore. And then there's claps of thunder, terrifying claps of thunder. So the entire Egyptian army is thrown into disarray. And if that's not enough, the next verse tells us, Vayasar es oifen markavesov. So at this point, the wheels came off, the wheels of the wagons. Why did the wheels of the wagons come off? Rashi says, Mikoyecha esh nisrifu hagagalim, from the power of the fire, the wheels were burnt. So the wheels were on fire. Vahar merkaves nigrores. So now the chariots were being dragged by the horses without wheels. So they're being dragged along the ground. And the people who are sitting in them, hayeshvim behem, they don't have time to alight from the chariots. The chariots now, which are being dragged and bumping along the ground, ve'evareim misparken, and so their limbs are literally kind of falling apart. They're dislocating their joints. It's like getting whiplash in a car. God forbid, it's an accident, right? You get thrown with great force, so your joints get thrown out of whack. So the joints are thrown out of whack. So there's no rank and file left. There's no order left. And then the people themselves are not able to function. They're thrown into whiplash and their joints are dislocated. And at this point, the Torah says they're no longer moving forward like a well-oiled machine. Vayina hagehu bekvedos. They're moving very heavily. Rashi says banhaga shehi kvedo v'kasha lehem. This is a very heavy and cumbersome kind of movement now. Vayomer Mitzrayim, and Egypt said anusa. Egypt said, now let us flee, they said. let us run away from before Israelites. Why? Because God is doing battle for them in Mitzrayim. So all along this time, they were confident, we can do this. They're just a bunch of slaves. They don't know how to fight. We're a well-trained army. We're well-equipped. We're going in there, and we're going to turn everything around. And now they said, let us flee. They wanted to surrender. They wanted out. But it's too late. It's too late. They knew Hashem nilchem lachem, but this didn't happen. And exactly when they're ready to break and run, exactly at this point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, now. Rashi says, nilchem lachem b'mitzrayim. God is doing battle against them in Egypt. In Egypt, we left Egypt. This is outside of Egypt. This is at the Reed Sea. So Rashi says, first of all, it means b'mitzrayim. In Egypt means like the people. He's doing battle against the Egyptians. He's saying against Egypt. However, it doesn't say that. It could have said Nilchom Lahem b'Mitzrayim or Banu. It doesn't say that. It says b'Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is geography. Mitzrayim is a country. So Rashi says Dover Acher, another interpretation. You know why it says Mitzrayim? Be'eretz Mitzrayim, in the land of Mitzrayim. Kishem She'elu Leiken Alayom, just as the soldiers are being now assaulted at the sea, so Kach Leiken Meisam Shanishru b'Mitzrayim. Their families who sent them off with gladness and joy. Go ahead, fight the Israelites, bring home those SOBs. All of a sudden, they were experiencing the same thing. So the Egyptians back home were suddenly being violently thrown about, and maybe there was boiling mud beneath them, and they were also thrown into disarray. So Egypt is thrown into disarray back home, and the Egyptian army is in totally disoriented with these claps of thunder, terrifying, boiling hot mud beneath them, in total disarray, they're ready to surrender. And just then, God says to Moshe, "Nateyes yadcha, now raise your hand, al hayam, over the sea." And when you'll do this, "Vayashuvu hamayim al Mitzrayim," the waters will come crashing down. They'll return right over Egypt. "Al richboy," upon his cavalry, "al parashav," and upon his chariots and horsemen, the cavalry will be buried in water. And that's exactly what happens. Verse 27, Vayet Moshe, Moshe does raise his hand, Alayam, Vayoshav Hayam, and the sea returns. Lifnois Baker, just as day is about to break, just as we're greeting the day, Le'esonai, to its former strength. Umitzrayim Nosim Likrosai, the Egyptians are fleeing, they're running towards the sea, the waves that are crashing down upon them. Vayinar Hashem Es Mitzrayim B'Tech Hayam, and God churns the Egyptians in a violent sea. So let's take a look at Rashi here. Vayashuva hamayim. The waters return. What does it mean return? So Rashi says, Zekufim va'imdim kechayma. They're standing tall like walls. And now, yashuva l'mekayman. Now they return to their original place, which means the waves come crashing down. And when the waves come crashing down, vayachasu al Mitzrayim. They cover over Egypt. Egypt is submerged in these waves. Lifnais Boiker, towards morning, Rashi says, La'es Shaha Boiker Painalove, just around the corner, just when day is about to arrive. And La'esone means L'skof L'sokfei Harishin, to its original strength, though the sea has now been restored to its original strength. And the Egyptians are Nosim L'krosei. They're racing or rushing towards the crashing waves. They're totally disoriented and confused. They don't even know where they're going. Instead of running out of the sea, they're suddenly disorientedly running towards the sea as the waves are crashing down upon them. Vayinar Hashem, and God churns, like a person who has a big pot on the fire, and you turn the pot. And the reason you turn the pot is so that the soup on the bottom should end up on the top, and the soup on the top should end up on the bottom, because you want to have the heat distributed equally. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is distributing the misery here equally. The Egyptians were going up, like on roller coasters, flying up to the heights, and then Mishtabrim come crashing down by Yom in the sea. V'noshna HaKadosh Baruch Hu behem chiyos, God gave them koyach l'kabel hayisurin. So they didn't die so fast. And they were alive, and they were experiencing these highs and lows of being hurled from one extreme, hurled with tremendous force to the next extreme, and everything is literally falling apart. Vayinar, Rashi says, Unkelus renders it as vishanek. And that's Lashon Tiruf, that means to stir, in the words of Rami. Stir, to violently stir. Vahar b'yeshem medesh agodah. So a couple of details before we go on to an analysis of this, the restoration of the crashing waves, which is called le'isane u'le'takfei harishin. So the first thing I wanted to share with you is that one of the reasons that it's called Ashmeiras, according to some of the other Mefarshim, is because there was also the idea of anticipation. Not only a watch, but anticipation. And the Chizkuni says the Malachim were anticipating and waiting. What were they waiting for? Not for the Egyptian misery. They were waiting for the Song at Sea. Song at Sea was a tremendous event, and the angels, it's not like usually you have competition. Nobody likes the competition. The angels sing. That's what they do. And now the Israelites are going to sing. The angels were waiting for the Song at Sea. And that's why they're called Ashmeiras, from the term of waiting or anticipating for. Why Ashmeiras HaBoker? Why do we have to emphasize that? The Baal Turim says something very interesting. He says, early in the morning is Eis Ratzon LaTzadikim. This is a time of grace for the righteous. And many, many righteous tzaddikim would be up early in the morning, either studying Torah or praying because they didn't go to sleep yet, or because they had already woken, like for Tikkun Chatzos, people wake up in the middle of the night, and early in the morning, this was a time for the righteous to be able to appeal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Amud Eish and Onon, the fiery and at the same time a pillar of condensation. So the Chizkuni says that usually they were separated. The pillar of fire is a pillar of fire. The pillar of condensation or cloud or smoke, it's separate. They were not there together. However, here they came together, and this added to the confusion of the Egyptians. So on one hand, things were lit up. On the other hand, everything was very dark. And it was like light and darkness kind of mixed together, being hurled at them at the same time. Now, it's worthy of pointing out that here, Moshe does not seem to hold a staff. Hashem always says, Netei es matcha, raise your staff. This is a staff with a deep history that Moshe Rabbeinu did all the miracles, the plagues with, but here it was Netei es yodcha. And the Rosh says, this is to emphasize that the miracle was not brought about through a wand or a staff, but through the person of Moshe. And of course, when it's all over, what do the people say? Vayaminu b'Hashem over Moshe Avdi. They believed in Moshe. Not that he had a magic wand. They believed in Moshe, the person of who he was. They said Hashem trusted him. If he says Hashem said, we believe that absolutely. We trust him 100%. Neteyes yodcho al hayom, raise your hand up over the sea. So the Ur HaChaim says, over the sea, so that the sea should be restored to its former strength in tremendous haste. He said it was as if Moshe Rabbeinu had kind of like conducted the sea, raised his hand over the sea and hurled the sea down, and the sea came crashing down. And so this happened to the point that not a single one was able to escape. Nobody could get away. Now, why did Hashem make the Egyptians race towards the sea? So really and truly, some of them should have been able to swim. There should have been some survivors. Right?
Pretty violent, pretty deep.
Though. Violent and deep, but a good... There's always, you know... There was some survivors in the Titanic, you know, like there was some pretty violent stuff going down there. That ship cracked in half and people went flying. But
that water had a big force, though.
Yeah, the water did have big force, and this exactly is the point. The Torah describes all the details, tell you there were no survivors here. Nobody got out of this. Everybody, they were confused. They did all the wrong things. Everything that went wrong could have gone wrong, and not a single one of the Egyptian cavalry lived to tell the tale. So we're going to conclude today's class with an analysis of a miracle. The nature of a miracle. It says, by Yoshev Hayom Lefneis Boker, as day was turning, as day was arriving, the sea was restored to its original strength. Rashi says, Le'isone, to its strength, not just to its strength, Le'takfei Harishin, to its original strength. So the Rebbe says, what is Rashi adding with the words, Le'isone? He says, what does it mean, Le'isone? Le'takfei. What does Eitan mean? It means Tokef. I mean, it's just like the same Hebrew word. what was wrong with the word le'isani, to its strength? And then it says, no, le'takfei harishon, to its original power. Didn't just go back to its strength, went back to its original, to its first strength. What's the point? So the Rebbe suggests, in order to understand why Rashi said this, we really need to step back for a moment and analyze the anatomy of a miracle, or the nature of a miracle, oxymoronic as that may sound. So here's the possibility. When we see a miracle unfold, it can unfold in two ways. Number one is that there's what we call, there's a nes, which is chad pa'mi. There's a one-time miracle. Chad pa'mi in modern Hebrew means things that are disposable, but it's not what I mean here. It's not a disposable miracle. It's a miracle that happens once. One time, happens. What does this mean? It means that God changed things. Water was wet and flowing, and now water is dry and solid. That's it. It's changed. Kach. Now, the nuclear physics change. It used to be water, and now it's a wall. It's not a continuous miracle. It's a one-time miracle. Boom. What was water is now wall. End of story. It was liquid, now it's solid. The mikra kozeh, in such a case, when there's a need to bring about a restoration of the previous reality, what do you need?
Another miracle.
You need another miracle. So miracle A is that water became solid. Now the solid has to become liquid again. We need a new miracle, namely to turn what's solid back into liquid, to liquefy the solid again. That's one way of understanding a miracle. And there were such miracles. For example, it says when Moshe Rabbeinu placed his hand in his bosom, because God told him to, what he took his hand out, and what did he have?
Tzaras.
He had tzaras. And then Hashem said, put your hand back. Why? Because he had to turn that hand back, the healthy flesh, back into healthy flesh. But then we have another possibility. And the second possibility is that the miracle is ongoing, which would mean that the nature of the water never changed. The water remained water. Well, if water remained water, why wasn't water flowing? That was a miracle. The miracle was that water was stationary. The miracle was that liquid was not in a state of flux. The Rebbe says here, the original nature didn't change. Ella, manikli tchuna sachedes. Hashem gives it other characteristics. As long as the miracle will happen, the wet water will be dry and solid. It's still water. If you take some of that water and you put it under a microscope, it would look exactly like regular water.
As ice is.
No, because ice is actually a change. The change in temperature changes. The thermonuclear physics change because of temperature. Here, it's changed. Only superficially. Only in how it acts, but it doesn't change at all. The water is exactly the same water that was before. Well, if it's the same water, if it's water, water is supposed to flow. Why is it solid? That's the miracle. The miracle is that which flows isn't flowing now. But we don't really understand why. Something has changed. The nature is constantly being manipulated. It's being inhibited from coming crashing down and flowing down. Not because it's changed. It actually didn't change. Hashem gives it the ability to stand still. In such a case, Ein Tzorech B'Nes Nesif, if you don't need a new miracle to make the water turn back into water, but instead, you just release this, whatever's keeping the water up. I'll give you a silly example. With an airplane's in the sky, it's not because you've changed. The airplane now becomes something that floats. It's still many tons of metal. And many tons of metal, gravitationally speaking, should, God forbid, crashing down. Why isn't it crashing down? Because the engines are constantly working. Well, what happens if the engines stop working? Well, let's not talk about that. It's too scary to think about. Right? Then there's no way. Then it doesn't just remain where it is. So it's natural, its nature didn't change. There's a constant effort being made to keep the airplane up in the air. Here Hashem is giving us a constant effort to keep the walls of water up. And this is exactly what the Alter Rebbe says in Tanya, in Shayachat V'Emun in the second chapter, when he speaks about the ongoing nature of creation. The metaphor that he invokes is the metaphor of Kriyas Yamsuf. And he says that Ha'ilach Hashem, Beruach Kadamaza, Hashem had this wind blowing. We would probably follow the interpretation of the Ibn Ezra that the wind was still blowing. And continuously, the wind was blowing as if the wind was blowing the water up, which, like Ramban said, that's why the Egyptians actually went into the water, even though it makes no sense. Ramban himself acknowledges that makes no sense. Water doesn't get blown into a wall, but they weren't thinking, the Egyptians. Here they saw this very heavy wind, and the water was blowing. So, oh, yeah, sure, the water's being blown up. And then all of a sudden, the wind stopped. So when the wind stopped, meaning the miracle stopped, what happened to the water? It came crashing down. And this, the Rebbe suggests, is what Rashi's meaning of Rashi's comment. He says, "L'tokfa harishin." Rashi is coming to tell you that the miracle of Kriyas Yamsuf was of the second kind of miracle. The waters never changed. The waters always remained water. And therefore, the moment Hashem stopped making the water stand, it came crashing down. So the crashing waves were the most natural thing. What was unnatural was the walls of water. But the crashing waves meant simply that the water had been restored to its original strength. And now we understand the anatomy of Kriyas Yamsuf. This was how the miracle happened. HaKadosh Baruch Hu kept the waters of wall up miraculously throughout the time that Bnei Yisrael were through the waters, and the moment Bnei Yisrael were just coming out of the water, and according to many opinions, Bnei Yisrael was still in the water on one side, and the Egyptians were on the same water at the same time, and here the water was being held up, and here the water was crashing down. And some of, so they're right behind them. So here's a wall of water, the last of the Israelites, and here's crashing waters right behind the Israelites in which the Egyptians were in. And all this was happening at the same time, which lends further credibility to the idea that Hashem is judging the Egyptians and benevolently and compassionately saving the Israelites at once. This is Bechek HaBoida in the hands of Hashem, just like we had the idea of Makas Bechedus. We had judging and compassion at the same time. Here we had HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing the same thing at once. Am Yisrael was protected, and the enemies of our nation, the Egyptians, were destroyed in a way that they would, as the Torah says, never rise again. And that's all for today.